Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
If you know anything about us by now, is that we love to get inside our pockets, understand how we build wealth and how we're earning our income. Because fundamentally, these are the streams that influence how it is that we are able to build wealth and maintain it. And BankServ typically takes a study called the Take Home Pay Index, tracking the average nominal take home pay among about 4 million salary earners in South Africa. And from what we see, these numbers have recovered somewhat in the month of May 2024 as they reached 15,888 Rand. That's a notable 10% increase from about a year ago. So, to help us understand this typical average salary of about 15,000 Rand we see in South Africa, we're joined by independent economist Elise Krier, who joins us now on the show. Elise, such a pleasure to have you with us on the show this evening. I'm not too sure which particular pronunciation you prefer of your second name.
Both are good, Guguletu. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I guess first things first, let's take a look at the outcomes of the Take Home Pay Index. And I find this one so intriguing because when we look at the recent news we've seen from corporates in South Africa, Investec increasing their minimum pay or salary for their lowest paid workers to 21,000 Rand. And this comes after the likes of Old Mutual and Sanlam also increased their pay just over a year ago and earlier this year to about 15,000 Rand per month. So your thoughts as to how this does compare with the reality of many South Africans?
Yes, I would say there's a wide range of salaries out there. You know, you mentioned financial industry in those minimum numbers. But if we look at the overall, you know, it is a bit of a bigger pot and it's, giving you a bit more of a median of the total. Mm-hmm. So Banks of Africa, the way we calculate the index is we take the total value of all salaries paid into the bank accounts of South Africans account holders, that the transactions go through Banks of Africa as a clearinghouse, and we divide by the number of transactions, so that number of salaries. So that gives you a pure average. Now, it could look very different in different sectors of the economy, but by tracking the average, we get a feel for what is happening out there on take-home pay. So after all the deductions on tax and, you know, UIF and whatever else, medical aid premiums and so on, we look at what is literally in your pocket and track how that specific pot is moving. So you mentioned the 10%. I just want to give a bit of context on that.
Yes.
So that was in the month of May, if we compare to May last year, but it seemed to be a bit of a comparison against a low base. But what is actually the better way to look at it, especially given volatility from month to month in this index, is to look at the first 5 months for which we have data so far in 2024. And if we consider the average in the first 5 months of this year compared to the first 5 months of last year, what we did see and what is quite heartening is a 6.8% nominal increase in take-home pay.
Ah,
and, you know, that
in line with inflation.
Be the bill.
Got you. And maybe let's talk about that, because for many of us, we have actually seen that inflation perhaps has been accelerating and dissipating if we look at the numbers that we do see from Stats SA. But the pressure in terms of our pockets and the rate at which our salaries have been increasing has not been competitive or in line with the rate of inflation. And I'm hoping that you can contextualize that for us, especially when it comes to the outcomes of this report.
Yes, so that was indeed true for 3 years, 2021, 2022, and 2023. Nominal salaries did not keep up with inflation. So you actually ended up with a real decline in your take-home pay. So meaning that after taking into account the increases in product prices due to inflation, you would have less purchasing power given that your salary did not keep up with the level of price increases out there. But that is what we are saying. We note it is busy changing in 2024. So, and that's why it's not quite feeling like that yet, because you're coming off a low base. Now, if you think about it, 3 years in a row where the average nominal take-home pay did not keep up. Now we're starting to see the trend changing, and that is the positive news, that if we can continue this trend for the rest of this year, 2024 will be the best year for salaries in at least four.
Wow.
Since 2020. And that could start to feel better. It could start to alleviate the pressure in combination then with inflation moderating, you know, as we have been seeing. And hopefully by the end of the year, we could be in the order of 4.3% on our consumer price inflation.
I'm so intrigued because many of us will wonder what's driving this, Elise. Is it the fact that inflation is dissipating or that corporates are actually paying their employees a lot more?
I think it is a combination of both, but on the nominal side, indeed, I think the business environment has improved considerably in 2024 compared to last year, and for that matter, compared to the previous few years. If you think about just the level of load shedding that we had to deal with last year, and how that has also improved notably in 2024. That's a huge factor that has kept the economy back last year and that, you know, basically inhibited companies from giving proper salary increases. You know, the companies were typically so under pressure that they just, you know, told employees, you can keep your job, but we can't give you a salary increase, at least not in line with inflation. And that type of, you know, scenario played out a lot in the economy in the last year or two, especially given the harsh impact of load shedding. Now we are starting to see that alleviate a bit into a positive direction. And in combination with a couple of other factors that could just all be helping to make this year a better year for salaries.
I'm hoping so, because what we have witnessed is that South Africans are still buckling under the pressure of the cost of living. Just yesterday, we had a conversation around how Johannesburg residents now have a 12% increase in the electricity tariff for prepaid customers, 200 rand as a service fee that they'll also be paying. And I'm keen to understand if perhaps the measure of inflation published by Stats SA might be easing and cooling, but are there additional pressure points perhaps that we haven't fully accounted for that will add to the pressure we feel on our pockets still?
I think what we are experiencing, Guguletu, is that we still have all the pressures with us right now. We haven't seen the alleviation significantly on the household budgets. For that, we really need to see the salary trend to continue throughout this year. And then hopefully also we need to see some interest rate cuts towards the end of the year. That will make a meaningful change, you know, in the household budget once you can feel the tangible impact of a lower interest rate, for instance. But you're quite right, you know, and remember, as much as we look at Stats SA CPI basket, we really all have our own baskets. You know, if you spend a bit more of your expenditure as a proportion than what the Stats SA basket would assume, you will have a slightly different inflation rate. And you end up with that type of scenario as well, that, you know, we all pay slightly different compared to how our spending patterns look like. Yeah. But yes, indeed, you know, administered price increases now at the beginning of July are indeed another source of pressure on household budgets.
At least there's some slight reprieve in terms of the fuel price, given that it's going down at midnight, but that will have yet to be measured, given its impact in retrospect. I'm so intrigued because we often talk about the employed population and people under the survey, around 4 million salaried employees. But what are we seeing in terms of private pensions? And these are individuals who are earning, I guess, part of their annuity income, and if it's remaining competitive for their day-to-day needs.
Yes, Guguletu, interestingly, in this sample of Banks of Africa, we have noted over the past, you know, 2 years or so that actually nominal private pensions kept up with inflation. So in terms of just to give you a comparative to the 6.8 on nominal salaries for salary earners, that comparison for pension earners or pensioners that earn a pension is about 5.9% in nominal terms. And also in real terms, it is positive. So to show that, you know, pension payments in the first 5 months of this year indeed kept up with inflation, and it's actually up by 5.9% in nominal terms. So that portion, it's about 700,000 that we do have in the sample, have fared well compared to inflation in the last year or two.
Got you. I'm intrigued as well, Elise, and I guess speaking to the economist at heart here, just in terms of where we could see this going in the short to medium term. And I ask this deliberately because there's a heightened level of anticipation that we should see an interest rate cut before the end of the year. Quite marginal, though, 25 basis points, especially if we continue to see the CPI basket and the figure continue to soften and cool, I guess, in the upcoming months. But if you have a crystal ball are able to track the trends that we typically have seen in the past, how do we anticipate the average salary to be influenced by some of these monetary policy factors and, of course, the macroeconomic environment?
Certainly, I do think we are in a positive scenario looking forward for a couple of reasons. On the one side, economic growth in 2024 will most likely be somewhat higher compared to last year. We have our load shedding scenario quite a bit better compared to last year. And looking into the next 6 months and towards the end of the year, I do anticipate a further moderation in inflation, and I do forecast 225 basis point cuts in interest rates. So I think, you know, in combination, these factors could help. It will, on the one side, I think businesses will fare better given the better economic environment, and we should add into this mix also a hope that we will see confidence levels improve somewhat following our new government, you know, and the developments on political front. I think that could be a trigger for a better confidence outcome in the next couple of months. So that in combination with these economic factors should, I would say, increase the ability of companies to pay a better salary. And then with inflation moderating, with household budgets slightly less or better off with, say, interest rate cuts, that could be in combination be a better economic environment in the next 6 months.
I'm glad that you mentioned that because it does provide a level of optimism, and those two interest rate cuts would be very welcome by many South African households just to alleviate some of the pressure that we've been feeling. And I guess what's also intriguing as we take a look at these figures, as you've highlighted, it is a unique sample base and, of course, looking at the average that we are witnessing in South Africa. But I'm also tempted to ask, in light of some of the wage strikes that we are seeing from certain sectors of the economy, the automobile space where Ford, NUM is actually looking to strike because they're requesting a 13th check and an increase in salary. We're seeing the job cuts that are taking place at Sibanye Stillwater. I'm assuming that in as much as we've seen the positivity in this data, that there's still some concern about the overall trend of labor being adequately rewarded and remunerated in certain sectors of South Africa's economy.
Yes, I suppose in certain sectors one could go into the nitty-gritty detail, but I actually also looked at, you know, wage settlements in the unionized sectors, and we have actually seen a trend towards more multi-year wage agreements, where, especially in the mining industry, the agreements can go up to 5 years, you know, and those are all inflation-related salary increases that are built into those agreements. So my sense is that you know, the unionized sector as a whole definitely are better off compared to, I would say, individuals in a company. Even, you know, the collective strength of bargain and the bargaining power of the unions. So I think in certain sectors, one will have to look at the specific factors impacting, you know, like, for instance, gold mining, you know, it's got some specific factors that impact those companies and their ability to keep their workers or not. But overall, we've seen a trend where you know, the collective agreements have had fairly comfortable above CPI increases in the last while, with quite a few, like I mentioned, multi-year agreements in place. Mm. So that would cover workers, you know, for the next couple of years as well, to at least earn a salary increase in line with inflation.
100%. Such a pleasure speaking to you, Elise. Really appreciate your time this evening and helping to contextualize these numbers that sometimes we take for granted because they might not reflect the reality of many South Africans who are below this average income, but also very important to actually understand what contributes to the different aspects of salaries in nominal earnings in South Africa, nominal take-home pay. That's important because earnings can be misinterpreted. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Guguletu.
Thank you. That's Elise Greer, independent economist, giving us some insight into the data from BankServe Africa, the take-home pay index, indicating that there's been a beautiful improvement in the nominal take-home pay among about 4 million salary earners in South Africa.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.